Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the gospel account of Jesus being challenged by the Pharisees and the Herodians. And this morning we will hear that Jesus renders unto his Father. Please be seated. Finally, the Pharisees have him. They have found the smoking gun. Finally, they have found the one question which Jesus must answer. This is the one question that will trip him up. The trap is ready, and it's about to be sprung with this question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? That is it keeping within God's law to pay taxes to the government? Their thought was that if Jesus says yes, then he would be betraying his people, since the image on the coin is of the Roman emperor, in this case, Caesar Tiberius, who claimed, by the way, to be the Son of God, and not only that, to be the high priest of the world. Then, if Jesus says yes, they can accuse him of being an idolater, and he would lose favor forever with the people. They could actually charge him with blasphemy. Finally, they've got him. But wait, if he says no, then he could be charged with betraying Caesar. And he could be tried by leading an insurrection. He would be accused of sedition. And the punishment, such a punishment for sedition, is death by crucifixion. Our Lord's enemies just don't believe. They can't bring themselves to repent and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's proven it over and over and over again that he is their Messiah. The trap that they have set is a trap that will actually ensnare them. Jesus, again, turns the tables on these religious leaders. You would think that they would have known better. They've tried this many times, and each time Jesus turns the tables and they are left walking away, embarrassed and foolish, which they are. Therefore, Jesus asked his own question before answering their question. And he says to them, "Show me the coin for the tax." So there seems to be a brief pause as the Pharisees are looking for a coin. And they come back with a coin and they give to him a Roman denarius, just like you see on your bulletin cover this morning, which, by the way, isn't the right Caesar, but that's beside the point. Jesus tells them as he holds the coin in his hand, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And their minds, dear ones, their minds are so fogged with hatred. Their eyes are blind and their ears are deaf. They gladly answer, "Caesar's." They have fallen into their own trap. They have just admitted that as they pay the tax, they are the one blaspheming God. And if they refuse to pay the tax, they are the insurrectionists, those who are being seditious. Our Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah, ensnares them with their own word, Caesar. Therefore, he says, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's." In other words, give to Caesar that which has Caesar's image and inscription, and give to God that which has God's image and inscription. And this is where most people stop with this pericope. This is where they stop. Render unto Caesar. And today, Christians all over the world are going to hear about how you should be rendering unto Caesar. And they turn this into law. This is all law, by the way. And this is what they do. Why do they use this term? Why did they stop with render unto Caesar? Because the law is easy. The law is something that we understand. After all, rendering unto Caesar is something that we don't like to do. We don't like paying taxes, even though God says that we are to pay our taxes. Remember your catechism, the fourth commandment. We understand, and it's not difficult because it's God's law. The law tells us that we are required to do this. It's our duty to pay our taxes. It's our duty to honor our government, whether you agree with it or not. We are even to defend our government, which is why we have veterans among us. And there are even veterans who are resting across the road who have given their last full measure of devotion. We usually don't go to the last half of Jesus' statement, though. What does it mean that we are to render to God that which is God's? What exactly does that mean? We rarely consider, or we even don't even really think about this question. It doesn't even come to our mind. What has God's image and inscription on it? Well, let's go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember what you have been taught? When God created Adam and Eve, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." God inscribed, wrote upon Adam and Eve's hearts, His word, His law, His holiness, His name. Satan came, and in his lies, led Adam and Eve to sin. They turned from God. They abandoned His word. They abandoned His law. They abandoned His holiness. They abandoned His name. They had lost His image. They rendered unto Satan that which belongs to God. In our original sin, we do the very same thing. We render unto Caesar that which belongs to God. We place our full and complete trust in government. Many trust in government more than trusting in God. Many, dear ones, you know this, many, too many, look to government for nearly everything as long as it's not against the law. They are taught, as long as it's not against the law, then it's okay. Uncle Sugar can be your gravy train. Have you rendered unto Caesar that which belongs to God? Why? Why would you forfeit your citizenship in heaven for a citizenship that will not and cannot save you? Why would you put your full and complete trust in a human prince, be it a man or a woman? In them there is no salvation. Render unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar, and to God that which belongs to God. There is only one man. There is only one who can and has saved you. There is only one man who has rightly rendered unto God, rendered unto His Father, that which is His Father's. Jesus rendered everything, even His own life, so that you and I can be reconciled to His Father and to our Father who is in heaven. By Jesus fully rendering unto His Father, our Father, your Father, we are truly His children. Jesus has restored what was lost way back there in the Garden of Eden. Jesus has restored to you and to me the image of God in us. He has restored in us by the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As you were washed clean, He has restored your relationship with Him. You didn't do this. He did it. He suffered upon His cross. And He marked you as His dear child in your baptism. And in shedding His holy and precious blood, He continues to pour out His lifeblood to you here from this altar. Jesus is continually rendering unto you just as He rendered unto His Father. So you see, there is a prince that you can place your full and complete trust. A prince who will not lie to you, especially in an election year. There is a prince in whom you can place your full and complete trust, who will not waste everything that you render unto them. Place your full and complete trust in the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Render unto God, which is God's. Believe and trust in Jesus alone, for He is God, and in Him is full and complete salvation. So lastly, dear ones, we end with an exhortation, with words of encouragement. Especially in this day and age, it is important for you to hear, do not be afraid. Even with all the evil that surrounds us in this world, there has never been a better time to be His child, to be a father, a mother, to raise children, to worship God. For God is God. He is the God of heaven and the God of earth. And Jesus, oh, you know this well, He is risen. He is still your brother. Jesus will always be your friend. He will always be your Lord. Trust in Him. Trust His Word. And trust His promises. Continue to be attached to Him. Come and receive from Him that which He gives you freely in His body and blood. Come and hear His Word and hear as He proclaims to you today, and as He will always proclaim to you from this pulpit, I pray, that He has something very plenteous for you. When you come and repent of your sins, He who is your Prince will announce to you that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.